Greetings, Andy Jukes here again, and welcome to Ride and Talk number 16. Oh yes, the episodes are flying by. When I was in New Zealand last month for the International GS Trophy, I managed to grab a sit-down and a chat with new head of BMW Motorrad Development, Christoph Lischke, who took over the role in August. I first met Christoph last November at a BMW Tech Day event in Miramas, France, and have been wanting to track him down ever since to see how he plans to build on BMW Motorrad's successful product development of recent years. Christoph brings a wealth of experience in vehicle development to this role. In fact, the mechanical engineer has held various development positions within the BMW group over the past 20 years, including most recently being responsible for requirements, concepts and integration in the driving dynamics division. But it's on two wheels where he's happiest. After all, he started out racing BMX at age just 8, before moving on to motocross and enduro, where he achieved many successes, including winning the Accept No Limits event and finishing runner-up in the Master of Dirt competition. He's even finished the Roof of Africa rally twice, so was perfectly at home on the International GS Trophy trails of New Zealand's North and South Islands, where I caught up with him. Well, welcome, Christoph. Great to have you here with us in New Zealand. You're fairly new to the role of head of BMW Motorrad Development, but you're not new to vehicle development in general. What other development positions have you held within the BMW group over the past 20 years? You've been with the group for a long time, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. I'm at BMW for more than 20 years, and all of the time I have been in car development, so mainly in chassis development. I did some projects, car projects myself as project leader. So the 1 Series was one of the cars I did. But as I said, most of the time I was in chassis development and driving dynamics. And that's too what I've done the last 3 or 4 years. I was head of driving dynamics development for cars. And that's a quite interesting job too, I must say.
You've been a motorcyclist for most of your life. Ever since childhood, you've had a passion for two wheels and started at a very young age, I believe.
I lived my life on two wheels in dirt, I must say. I started racing BMX as a kid. And then as I was old enough, with 16, I started riding bikes and motocross and then enduro races. And I did some rallies in South Africa, in Croatia. Yeah, so as I said, I rode a lot. I love riding on the roads too, but mainly I rode in dirt.
So rallies, I'm thinking, what did you do? The Roof of Africa maybe? How did you find that?
Yeah, that's a hell of a race. You must be a little bit crazy to do that. But I had the chance to do it first time in 2001. Unfortunately, I crashed and couldn't finish, but I said never again. And yeah, then I went again in 2003. And I finished and I said, that's it now, never again. But I have a lot of friends in South Africa now. And so they told me in 2018 to come again. So what can I say? I did it again and finished second time. But now I think it's enough, but let's see.
So that was a considerable gap in between Roof of Africa rallies. Did you feel the wear and tear on your body in 2018 compared to 2002?
Yeah. So it hurts every time you do that race. Really, it's you hurt yourself. But last time it took a long time to recover. It took me more than half a year. I broke a rib, so it was not so nice. But it's like it is. That's the race. It's like it is. And if you go there, you know what to expect.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we are not getting younger. So it hurts a little bit more.
Is the rally still in Lesotho?
Yeah. Still the same regulation. It's getting shorter and harder. Earlier times it was longer. You rode 400, 500 Ks a day. Now you only ride about 130, 150 Ks. But it took me 11 hours to do the 130 Ks. So you nearly can walk it faster than you ride it there.
Yeah, the only time I was ever in Lesotho was when I went up the Sunny Pass on a GS without too much tread on the rear tire, and that was an experience in itself.
Yeah, but it is a beautiful country, with beautiful mountains, but it's interesting how so beautiful mountains can hurt you so much.
Yeah, well, there's always good to have contrast in your life, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. So your latest role as head of BMW Motorrad Development. Can you explain exactly what this involves, please?
Yeah, of course. So as head of development, you have a lot of responsibility, I must say. And the bike world is changing too, like the car world. Yeah, we have connectivity, we have digitalization, we have e-mobility. So there is a lot to do for the future. The motorcycle world, as I said, will change. And we want to shape that change. So we have to look forward to the future, many years, 10 years, 15 years, and must assume what will come. So that's very interesting. But still, the bike world will stay emotional world and like it is now. So we have to keep what we have today, to keep our nice bikes, nice engines, especially the combustion engines of BMW are very cool, very nice, very good. So we have to keep that, and we have to shape the future and to develop new mobility. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about emotion, and it's great to see such emotion here at the GS Trophy. And it's interesting what you're saying also about the future, because successful product development requires you and your teams, of course, to live in the future a little bit, anticipating and creating our two-wheeled desires. How difficult is it, though, to move between the two worlds?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not so easy, to be honest, because sometimes you have issues or things to do right now with bikes which are in the market or come to the market now in some months, like our great R18. We are in the final phase of development of that great bike. And on the other hand, you have to live and to think in the future and must see what comes there and must shape it and create it. So yeah, it's interesting. And sometimes you go from one meeting to the other and you change the time you're talking about. So that's very interesting.
By quite a few years, I should imagine.
Yeah.
So with such a strong product offensive that you're talking about having taken place already in recent years, it's always a considerable challenge, isn't it, to maintain the Motorrad brand's current growth strategy?
Yeah, you have to be very careful what you can do with a brand and what not. So if you want to develop a brand in your new segment, it's very important to do that very focused and very concentrated. You must not change too much, and you must not go in a segment where you cannot put the brand like it is, or you cannot develop the brand into it. So it's again, you see, with the R18, we try to put all our heritage in that bike, of course, all our new technology in that bike, but we want to develop the brand in that direction. And I think the concept bikes, the R18, shows that we can do that.
And it must be really exciting for yourself and your teams to be able to move into a completely new segment with the credibility simply because of the heritage of the brand over the past nearly 10 decades.
Yeah, the brand has that heritage. We have that, it's there. And yeah, we want to show that we can go in that segment like we did with the Double R. That was a new segment for us too. And so, yeah, and we showed it with the R9T already, that we can go into the heritage segment. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy we have such a nice bike for it.
Just to give us an indication of how far ahead you are sometimes working in the future, if you take an example like the RR, which I first saw in 2009, how long ago would have people within the BMW group been talking about this kind of bike before 2009?
Maybe we must ask the people who did it. Yeah, but you have to talk some years before about it. You have to start 5 or 6 years before you want to come to the market to develop or to start thinking about what bike should it be, what segment do you want to go in, how can we do it. You have to do the pre-development of parts and technology. So at least 6-7 years before you want to be in the market, you have to start with it.
And it must be really interesting for people within development to, several years later, see customers enjoying bikes. If you think about an event like the GS Trophy here, you're seeing customers enjoying these bikes. How does that make you feel, you know, to see your customers really deriving maximum riding pleasure from bikes like the F850 GS here?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to see them. It's what it's all about. You see the result of your work, and you know, of course, in the daily work you have some issues you must solve, like it is. And if you see then the customers enjoying that bike and are so happy, and what we see here, it's unbelievable, and it's a result of our work. So it cannot be better. It's an unbelievable feeling.
Yeah, you get the feeling that you're partly responsible for the joy.
Yeah,
that comes
exactly.
From the association.
The joy is a result of our work, so it's amazing.
And what about the on-road, the racing scene? I know you're into your racing. You know, how important has the development and the feedback been from the BMW racing family, for example, via World Superbike or the BMW Motorrad Race Trophy, in the development of new bikes like the new RR?
Yeah, especially in the RR, it's very important because the RR is like a race bike for the road. And you cannot develop a bike like that without being on the racetrack. So the feedback from our riders like Tom Sykes is very important, and it goes into the development for the next bike. And yeah, as long or because it is a race bike for the road, we have to get the feedback from our riders.
And what about the team at Miramas, for example? How closely are you working with them in terms of development and endurance testing programs, load data, you know, for the confirmation of vehicle quality and validation?
No, very, very no. We are in contact all the time, and we go to Miramas and test the bikes ourselves. It's very good. It's a big advantage to have an area like Miramas with all the tracks and the off-road track we have there too, race tracks, and the infrastructure to work at the bikes and to get all that results. So we work very near together, and it's an extremely important place for us to test.
And of course, because it all goes on behind closed doors and pretty much in secret, we don't hear too much about it. There's the annual BMW Tech Day where we're given some unique insights, but there's a lot more things that go on. So how many people and teams are working there towards the mechanical and the electrical and the functional validation, and which of course ultimately leads to customer satisfaction?
There are a lot of people working in it, and riding the bikes and looking for the results. So yeah, it's very important. We have to ride them in all different conditions in all customer use cases. So that's important. We want to know that the bike is okay and is good for the customer before we bring it to him.
Now we're hearing some 850 GS
yeah.
trophy bikes going past at the moment, which sounds absolutely fantastic.
The guys are having fun.
They're having a lot of fun, yeah. And in the previous GS trophy in Mongolia, I remember there was a special bike there that I think was being used for validation testing. It was being used before the trophy during the Marshall scouting for testing lots of different types of load data. Would there be anything similar that's happened this year here at the GS trophy? Yeah.
No, we have no special bike here at the GS trophy this year. We are concentrating completely on all the customers riding the bike. Around 140 riders. So this time we only concentrate to the event and to the customer.
I found it really fascinating in Miramas to hear the stories of the different riders around the world who are using these bikes in many different riding situations, encountering all types of different load surfaces and different types of terrain, purely so that you can get the maximum amount of load data for the future development of bikes.
It's important to know what the customers are doing with the bikes and to get the data so we can develop the bikes fitting into the regions where we want to sell it. And a New Zealand or Australian customer has an other use case than a German or English or Italian rider. So we want to learn everything about the riders all over the world and meet their requirements. And that's very, and so it's very important to get the data.
And moving forwards in your role, looking towards the near future, what would you say are your biggest challenges?
That is the points I mentioned before, connectivity and e-mobility and regulations all over the world are the biggest challenges, because the regulations, as you know, are not the same in the different countries, though, but they are getting sharper and sharper. So to meet all that is very difficult all over the world. Same time, the bike world is changing to e-mobility and to connectivity. So I would say that to create that future and to develop the right bikes for that new markets and new use cases is the biggest challenge.
And electrification being obviously a very big part of your development strategy.
It is definitely already. It will start in urban areas. So e-mobility will happen mainly in urban areas first, because there is an infrastructure for it to charge the bikes, and the use case of the customer meets opportunities of e-mobility very good in urban areas. So it will take a while until we see e-mobility in other bike segments too, but it will come in some years. So, but we have to see when is the right time to start it. We need the right infrastructure to charge the bikes, and we need the right range that you really can ride a bike like a roadster, for example.
And I'm saving possibly the hardest question to answer to the last, but how do you ensure that we keep the emotion, keep the passion, keep the joy in our future motorcycling products?
I don't see there a problem. Bike riding always will be emotional. Look at the guys here having fun in the GS Trophy. It's so cool. It's so amazing. And even if you have e-mobility, I'm definitely sure that it can be, and it will be, very emotional. There's no doubt about that. I don't see a problem with emotions in riding bikes.
Yeah, I've ridden quite a lot of some of the e-mobility products, and it's a lot of fun. People don't realize that until they try it themselves for the first time.
It definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you, Christoph. I really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to both the near future and the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Cheers, Christoph. Some great insights there. It's going to be very interesting to see how you build on the successes of the development team so far, and we look forward to seeing the results in the next generations of BMW bikes. That's it for now, folks. Hope you enjoyed this latest episode. We've got loads more in the pipeline, so make sure you subscribe to Ride and Talk to get them delivered directly. Our next episode features someone who has arguably got one of the best motorcycling jobs in the world. All will be revealed in Ride and Talk 17, but until then, it's goodbye from me, Andy Jukes. Make life a ride.